Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Robert Mays of the Athletics Football Show is at training camp himself. He was with the Steelers today. He's been making the rounds. He's on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. So, Robert, what's your camp tour of sorts look like at this point?
Today was my 16th camp in 16 days, which seemed like a good idea at the time. Has since turned into something a little bit different. I've got about 8 more teams after this, but in all seriousness, it's fun. It's my favorite time of year. I absolutely love just being able to go to all these places and talk football and learn about these teams. And so it's been a blast. I was in Latrobe, Pennsylvania with the Steelers today. I'll be in Charlotte with the Panthers tomorrow and then in West Virginia with the Texans on Thursday.
That's incredible. 16 and 16. That's admirable. You are grinding. So well done on that. This is off the beaten path, but I actually was trying to text a couple coaches about this today. I was talking to someone about Raheem Morris's comments that 7-on-7 drills really have no use for him. And in asking about that, it sounds like it's something that he's kind of done away with. And as I thought about it, Dan Quinn doesn't do much of it here with the Commanders. They do a lot of 11-on-11. Do teams still do 7-on-7? Is there value in that? Do you see that at practices very often? And in addition to that, like, how different is the physicality at camps? Is there anyone that actually, like, tackles to the ground at this point?
Teams still do 7-on-7. I was in Cleveland yesterday. They were doing 7-on-7. I think that there was some 7-on-7 in Pittsburgh today. I can't remember if I saw it or not. So it definitely does still happen. I think that the logic there is you're still getting a sense of, like, coverage rotations and certain things there while allowing the offensive line to do maybe a little bit more individual work. So you can kind of split your time that way. But when it comes to the physicality of training camp, I do think we've seen some teams kind of lean back into this a little bit. The Jets have been doing multiple tackle to the ground periods with Aaron Glenn. I know the Lions often do some of that, and I think the Bears were doing some of that today, including in 7-on-7, I want to say. So I think there are some teams who have a certain mindset about it. Obviously, so much has changed with the CBA for what you're even allowed to do. But I think that for the most part, a lot of the teams that have been a little bit more cautious with camp, where they haven't pushed the pedal down that hard, the Bengals come to mind. I think the Bengals have always kind of had a looser training camp. I feel like some teams are reevaluating that. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a little bit of an uptick in physicality over the last couple of years, as we've seen other teams around the league, the Lions in particular, kind of realize some of the benefits of that.
You mentioned you were in Pittsburgh today for the Steelers camp. What'd you make of seeing Aaron Rodgers out there? What's the vibe around that team?
It's fascinating to see him in the uniform. You know, just I think it's a little bit jarring to see him in that jersey. You know, the Jets is one thing. Seeing him in Steelers yellow and gold is an entirely different thing. I think they're confident about what this can look like. You know, they have a young offensive line that I think is kind of the area of the offensive roster where they're really rooting a lot of optimism. I think that they have a really solid plan and a vision for what they want that group to be and then build everything else around it. I think with Arthur Smith in particular, their offensive coordinator, you know, there are certain elements of flexibility he's tried to build into his offenses over the last few years. And even with a veteran quarterback like Russell Wilson, just didn't feel like he was able to access some of that stuff. And now with Aaron Rodgers, I mean, you can do whatever you want at the line of scrimmage in terms of getting in and out of the right plays, packaging plays together. So I really do feel like they believe Aaron Rodgers is the right maestro to make this thing go. Whether or not that's true after what we saw from him with the Jets last year remains to be seen, but I think there's a lot of confidence about where this team is right now. They've been a playoff team consistently, and they've never really figured out the quarterback position. And I understand talking yourself into the idea that a Hall of Famer like Aaron Rodgers is your answer. We'll see if that's actually the case.
You mentioned Bears camp. We were talking earlier about the Caleb Williams viral video of him throwing into a net, and that's going to matter so much less than any of us kind of think as the season goes on. But the reports are either going to be glowing or not, and they kind of haven't been. Concerns too strong, but where are you at on him in year one with Ben Johnson and all that is going to come with him trying to learn a new offense and get off to a fast start?
I'm really not that worried about it. I think for a few different reasons. I think that we're about a week into padded practices of training camp. This is all so new. The season is a month away. And from everything that I've heard, they've really done everything they can to throw everything on his plate, right? We're going to give him everything, and we're going to see what works and what doesn't, and then pare it down from there. So I'm a very long way away from being overly concerned about what this is going to look like. I feel like if we get to week one and things look bad, that's fine. But I'm really, over the years, I feel like I've tried to tell myself that overreacting in any way, positive or negative, to how training camp is going is probably going to lead you astray more often than it's going to lead you to the right place.
I feel like the number one overall pick this year has gotten the least amount of publicity I can remember of any number one overall pick in quite some time. Have you had a chance to be out in Tennessee, and what have you made of Cam Ward and the early talk around him, and what do you have as expectations for him this year?
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I was in Tennessee. It was one of my first stops, and they're really excited about him. You know, I think that we always hear this with young players where, oh, he's in the building at 5:30 and he's such a hard worker. With Cam Ward, even off the record, even when it's just having conversations with people, they're bringing up the fact that he's in there so early that they've actually had to tell him to come in later because some of the rookies are following him around. Like, that's just kind of how it's gone. And their workload and just the demands of their day as position players is harder than it is for him. And so they've actually been worried about that. They're like, I get that you want to do this, but Eric Ayamonor has a much more demanding practice schedule than you. He can't be in here at 5:30 in the morning. So I think they're really excited about not only Cam, but that rookie class in general. Brian Callahan has been there for 2 years, but it's a new front office with Mike Borgonzi there. And I really do think that they feel like this group specifically, with Cam, Oladejo, their second-round pick at pass rusher, and then even Kevin Winston, their third-round pick, it's just a good foundation of players as they really try to start turning stuff around. And Cam specifically, I think they're really encouraged with a lot of the intangible aspects of what they can put on his plate mentally, how quickly he sees the game, some of the spatial awareness. Obviously, Brian Callahan played with Joe Burrow and coached Joe Burrow for several years. I'm not saying Cam Ward is Joe Burrow, but I think there are enough similarities with just some of the quieter, subtler aspects of how they see the game that it's left that coaching staff pretty excited.
Robert Mays, host of the Athletic Football Show, 16 teams in these last couple of weeks that he's been with at training camp. In the NFC East, how big is the gap between the Eagles and the Commanders going into the year? And then where are you on a Dallas team that it seems like a lot of people have differing views on with Dak Prescott back in the saddle?
I really don't know what to make of Dallas. That's a team that's confounding to me. Like, if you told me the Cowboys finished 7-10, I think it'd be hard to believe just because if Dak stays healthy, I think there's a certain floor. But there's just so much uncertainty with that team. You know, the offensive line is still a theory in year one of a new offensive system with a new offensive coordinator. The left tackle's already hurt. The right tackle's already hurt. On defense, they're down to like their 7th and 8th corners at this point because of how many guys are banged up. And I don't think it's an overly talented group to start with on the back end for them. So I feel like there's a ton of variance with that team because I do think there's a version of them that if that offensive line gels with George Pickens there and Dak staying healthy, that they can be good offensively and solid enough on defense to be a playoff team. In terms of the gap between Washington and the Eagles, I still think there's a gap just from a talent level overall. Like, I feel like Washington has done a good job at trying to fill in some of the margins at positions this year. You know, talking to coaches there when I was in Ashburn, they feel so much better about their ability to play man coverage this year because of the corners that they have. They feel better about their defensive line depth and flexibility. So I think as a defense, you're hoping that it can be more than the sum of the parts. But in Philly, I think you have some real star-level difference-making players that have emerged, where with the Washington defense, we just haven't quite gotten there yet. There's a lot of good players. Are there star-level players? And then on offense, I think it's just going to be a question of, do we have enough at the pass-catching spots if Terry comes back, and especially if Debo gets nicked up? The way that they've approached this is that I think they've looked at some of the other elite quarterbacks around the league and said, hey, if we protect that guy, he'll do enough for us. You look at the way the Bills have built around Josh Allen, et cetera. If you do that, the presumption is that Jalen is already one of those guys. He might be. Jalen might be one of those guys, but I think that's the bet that they're making, is that our quarterback is elite already, and we can take some cues from some of the other teams that have built around their quarterback in the right way.
With the four big hold-ins around the league, with Terry here in D.C., Micah Parsons down in Dallas, Trey Hendrickson, James Cook, do you see any of those guys holding out into the season and missing games, or any of those guys getting moved, or do we ultimately see stuff getting done and then playing for the teams they're on?
I just think that every team is incentivized to keep those guys. You know, the only one where I think the team could live without the player based on the construction of the team is like James Cook in Buffalo. The other three, when you consider the goals they have this year and how important those players are to the goals, I just don't think you can live in a world without them. Like, you guys are there. You understand what that pass catching group is like. Do you want to watch the Commanders without Terry McLaurin? I have no interest in that life.
Yeah, we can co-sign and verbally retweet that. Who is the most important? I was actually debating this on air with someone a couple days ago. Of those three, like, if you take them off from a war standpoint or whatever, Hendrickson with the pass rush for a team that's loaded offensively, McLaurin here where the drop-off, as you said, at receiver without him is massive. Parsons maybe is a little more replaceable only because, like, the expectations in Dallas are not at the same level. But how would you rate those three?
It's a great question. Mike is the best player of the three, and so that's the first place my mind goes. But when you look at Dallas's construction, the deepest part of the Dallas Cowboys roster, ironically, is edge rusher, even outside of Micah Parsons. They really missed him last year, but they didn't have Donovan Azaraku last year. Sam Williams, their second-round pick from a couple years ago, was hurt last season. But I still think that defense with him, without Micah, he just makes such a difference. But when you look at Trey Hendrickson and Terry McLaurin, both of those groups, again, I don't want to see either one of them. So I think you can make a pretty strong argument that it might be Terry or Trey just when you consider the drop-off from them to the rest of the players at their position.
Robert, appreciate the time, man. Safe travels around the country. Great to have you on, as always.
Anytime, guys. Appreciate it.
Keep up the great work. Yeah, you got to check out Robert's show. The Athletic Football Show is fantastic. Appreciate his insight.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.